I count it a privilege to be here and stand in this pulpit with a pastor like you have and his lovely wife. One thing I've learned about Brother Durham since he's been in the Bryan section, I know what's foremost in his heart, and that is College Heights Assembly of God and the people that's here. That's the main subject that he discusses, that's the main thing that he's concerned about, and it's a real privilege for you to have a pastor whose concern is the church and the people of the church. And we've appreciated Brother Durham and his capacity as an official of our district and representing us in the Christian Education Department and in Springfield. And if you've never been to Springfield, you don't know all the things that's involved in Springfield. Brother, I've been there. Not in official capacity, but I lived there one time. And served as a pastor in the section there at Buffalo for a short time. That's Buffalo, Missouri, not Texas. While I was going to Bible school at Central Bible College. So I did get acquainted with quite a few of our men of headquarters. And I want to say this, too, while I'm talking about men of headquarters. Sometimes people get the idea because a person is in that position that he's kind of stuck up. But I found that men like E.S. Williams, W.I. Evans, and Thomas Zimmerman were just common everyday folks like the rest of us, serving God, dedicating themselves to God's service, and they serving as our servants. And I learned to appreciate those fellows and the position they had. I appreciate the College Heights Church and the people here. I think we have the finest people in the whole area of College Station and Bryan here. And there's not any finer anywhere. There might be some good ones other places. I won't say that because we got some more churches around here. But I do know this. I appreciate the College Heights Church and what you stand for and what you're looking forward to in the future. And I just believe you've got the pastor and his wife, and through their leadership, you're going to see even greater growth than you've seen in the past. Praise his name. Now, I heard Brother Durham say back there to the choir a while ago something about using a pinch hitter because that he might strike out. Well, now, one of the most discouraging things is for a pinch hitter to strike out. So I trust that my voice will hold up and not strike out. Now, I remember a general council we were having in 1943 in Springfield, Missouri. And that was long about time the churches was first getting these things. And we had one singer that stood up to sing. And the fellow on the platform said, "Brother, come over to the microphone if you're going to sing." He shook his head, "No." Went over to the piano. And this fellow kind of got upset about it. And he said, "Brother, if you're going to sing to this congregation, we want you to come to the microphone." The fellow kind of cleared his throat. "I don't need a microphone." He rattled the rafters. And we were agreed he didn't need a microphone. And that's kind of the way it was. But I don't get scared of these things like I did when I first saw one of them. First time I got acquainted with a microphone was in a radio program that I used to have some years ago, but back when radio stations donated churches time and gave us so much time a week without any charge because we were a church. Well, Brother Durham, that's back in the good old days. Maybe it's best it worked that way because most of us didn't have the money to pay for it anyway. I'd like tonight to call your attention to an account in God's Word that's found in 1 Kings chapter 19. There is a question in the ninth verse that says, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And twice in this chapter, the Lord has asked him that question. Then I want us to look at a scripture found in James 5 and 17 and 18. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I want you to keep in mind that James said, this is Elijah that he's speaking of. Only this is a Greek term. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we look to you tonight, Lord, thanking you and praising you for the living Word of God. We pray, Lord, for the Holy Spirit of God to give us wisdom in your word tonight. Father, that you would move on our souls and move on our hearts, Lord. Bring the words, Lord, to our minds and our hearts, Lord, and build up our souls. Strengthen us, Lord, in our faith to God. We will give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen. When we look back at the situation that Elijah is in, he had just completed a great victory. He had just had a showdown with the prophets of Baal. And in that showdown, he had a great victory, and he won a great victory. God sent down the fire from heaven and answered his prayer. All the prophets of Baal out on Mount Carmel were slain. And he said unto Ahab, he said, "Now get on your chariot and get gone before you get rained out. Get on back to Jezreel, because it's going to rain." And I don't know but what the Olympic Committee would have liked to have had him on somebody's team, because the scripture said he ran ahead of the chariot and got there first. So evidently he must have really been, as we said, pick him up, laying him down on his way back to Jezreel, because he ran ahead of the king. But when he got to Jezreel, he got a message. He got a message that there was a woman that had made a vow. And she said, "So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." That poor fellow, after all that victory, didn't get to wait to hear the news. The TV report hadn't come out about that great victory on Mount Carmel. They hadn't had time to run it through the presses and get it publicized for him to read the account of what he had accomplished. His life was in danger, and here was a man that could stand on Carmel and call down fire from heaven. A man that can open the heavens by his prayers and it rain. And just a word from one person just knocked the props out Monday. Discouraged him. I mean, his balloon was bursted. His dream was gone. All I've done, and now then I'm about to die. Now, brethren, remember, James said he's a man of like passions as we are. You and I can very easily get in the same boat. How many times have we seen the fire of revival moving in our midst, How many times have we seen our altars filled with souls seeking the Lord? How many times have we seen healing take place? And the next thing we know, the old devil is perched on our shoulders and says, church is not doing anything. You're not getting anything done. Well, scripture said, when Elijah got this message, that he ran for his life. And he came to Beersheba. And then when he stopped there, he told his servant, well, maybe you better stay here. I got to go somewhere else. In other words, he still didn't feel safe. So he then went another day's journey into the wilderness. Sat down under a juniper tree. Juniper tree is a kind of a pungent odor tree like a cedar type. Gives a good thick shade, made him a good place to rest. While he was sitting there, he was still thinking, all the things that I've done, and now here I am running for my life, and my life's not worth much. And he even said, now, Lord, I wish I could die. Now, you talk about getting so low, he'd have to reach up to touch bottom. What is this, the same man that slew the prophets of Baal? Is this the same man that prayed and God sent the rain? Yes, it was. Same man. And here he is, discouraged. Did you know that discouragement is the most useful tool that Satan's got? And I don't think there's anyone that is more discouraged than a discouraged preacher. Because our life is a life of giving. I know some people would question that statement because it's is many times that people do give to the preachers. We thank the Lord for that, and we don't deny that they do. Sometimes we wonder if we're worthy of what they do give us. But at the same time, preachers, if they are a called man of God, did not make the choice of their possessions. They just answered God's call. They just answered the will of God and what God called them to do. I've heard a lot of preachers talk about what they gave up to go in the ministry. Well, what I gave up wouldn't amount to very much to consider to what God gave up to put me in the ministry. I know that there's been times in every minister's life that he wonders, just like Elijah did, why did this have to happen this way? Why couldn't I have gone back to the capital city and built a big church and seen all of Israel come together and worship God again? And here it is, I'm out here running for my life. Brother, he wasn't satisfied with stopping there. He kept going. He slipped down onto that juniper tree and went to sleep. You know, sometimes good sleep will do us good. And an angel of God came and touched him. Isn't it wonderful that even though we're running from God, God's still with us? But even though he was running in fear, the angel of the Lord came to him, said, arise and eat. He looked, there's cake baked on the coals, a cruise of water in his head, and he did eat and drink and lay down again. I don't know, I guess he just felt like, why go any further? I'll just lay here and sleep it off. Maybe I'll wake up and it'll be a bad dream. Do you ever do that? Wish you could just lay down and go to sleep and wake up and find out all those troubles are bad dreams. Now I'm just supposing that these things went through Elijah's mind. because he was a man of like passions as we are. And there are things sometimes that come to our minds that we wish we could dismiss them and wake up and find they were a bad dream. This time when he lay down again, he got woke up again. And he said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." There's nothing that's ever said here that God sent him on this journey. God knew that that's what he was going to do. And he provided him. And he went on the strength of that meat for 40 nights and 40 days down to Horeb, the Mount of God, way down on the Sinai Peninsula, a long way. Boy, he was getting away from Jezebel. He was putting distance between him and that woman because he knew her power. He knew it was her influence that made Ahab turn against the gods of Israel and worship Baal and raise temples to Baal. He knew that it was the same woman that caused Ahab to slay that man from his vineyard. Neither she did it, she slew him. She says, "Now go claim Naboth's vineyard. I've done got rid of him out of your way." He don't have any claim to it now. He's been killed as a criminal. I've brought charges against him and executed him now. Nobody keep it and take it. That's the kind of a woman that Elijah was dealing with. She was a treacherous person. But what the Lord said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? What are you doing here?" Did you ever see one of those bumper stickers? I haven't seen one recently, but I saw one a few years ago. It said, "What on earth, for heaven's sake, are you doing?" And maybe that's a question that was asked Elijah. Have you come down here to preach to these mountains, or you come down here to preach to these stones out here in this desert? Are you going to make a homestead here and try to make a living? Are you going to try to raise flocks here? What are you doing here? God knew what he was doing. He just wanted Elijah to know what he was doing. Why? Who are you, Elijah? Are you the man that I saw on Carmel? Are you the man that's gone so boldly to Ahab and told him about the sins of Israel? What are you doing here? Maybe I could ask some of you, what are you doing in Bryan? How come you here? Were you led of God here, or did you come here to get away from something else? Why did you come to this church? Did you come here to get something from God, or did you come here to give something to the glory of God? There's a purpose in every one of us being where we are. There's a reason. I know of a lot of places I could think of that I might have been beside here. I know of a lot of places I might have chosen to go rather than here. But I feel like God had a purpose. I feel like the hand of God had something for me to do here. Strange as it may seem, I've left this Bryan area 3 different times and come back again. But somehow or other, I felt like God had something for me to do. We pastored Madisonville 1941 to 1941. Then I left and was gone from there a number of years, and I came back in 46 and started the church in Frankton. I left there and I went out and pastored the church at Coleman for a while, and then I came back and took the church at Hearn. Pastored there for 11 years, and I went to Madisonville, pastored 15 years, and I'm still around here. Why do we choose those things? Many of our happenings are not exactly by our choice, but by the will of God. And so we find this man away down there on Horeb, and also Horeb is called Mount Sinai. He has wound up down on the Sinai Peninsula, and here he is, found him a cave and crawled in it. Now you talk about getting so low he crawled in a hole in the ground. That's what that man did. He wanted to get hid away where nobody couldn't find him. He severed his relationship with everybody just because he was afraid. Fear. You know, fear is a horrible thing. But perfect love casteth out fear. And this man was needing something. And so in that cave, God still remembered him. And there came a great wind, and it was a blowing. And the rocks were tumbling down, and the trees were being uprooted. I can imagine old Elijah was standing back in the cave as far as he could get, trying to get protection, shaking and wondering what's going to happen next. Surely God must be in all this power. But it went on by. God wasn't there. And then there came a trembling and a shaking, and boulders come tumbling down off that mountain, and the very ground shook under his feet. God wasn't in that either. And following that, there came a great eruption of fire. I can imagine some brimstone with it. And the heat was so immense that he got back as far as he could to get out of it. God wasn't in that either. Then as everything got still, the smoke cleared away, the dust had settled, the wind had quit blowing, and he heard a voice, a still, small voice. He listened, and then he went out, and he looked on the outside. That voice came into him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Second time he was asked that question. You know what his answer was? "I've been very jealous for the Lord of God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." That's the way he felt. "Lord, I've served you. I've been out and stuck my neck out. And I've been zealous, and I've been bold. And now then, I'm the only one left, and my life is threatened to be taken away. Lord, I'm about gone." You know, I feel like Elijah was kind of blaming God and saying, you haven't had the strength. You haven't had the power. Do you know what the Lord said to him? He said, "Get back on your way. I got a work for you to do. You're not through. I'm not finished with you. You're still my call servant. You still got a work to do. Now then, get up and get going. And when you go on your way, stop by Damascus and anoint the king there. And then when you go on to Israel, stop by again and anoint a king for Israel. And by the way, don't forget, I want you to choose Elisha to take your place whenever you're through, when I'm through with you. But there's a work to be done. Brethren, if we run away, hide ourselves, trying to get away from the fears, we miss the call of God. There is a work to be done. And brethren, as long as you're here on the face of this earth, God's not through with you. There is something that you can do. There is a place for you to fill. And as you are a Christian and a child of God, don't never get the place. Fold up your hands and say, well, I guess I'm finished. That's as good as it ever was. How did God appear to him? Why did God let him get away off down there in the peninsula, in the wilderness among the rocks, in the barren country, so he could talk to him? You know, brethren, sometimes the things that come in our lives are bringing us to a place to where we can hear the voice of God. God sent the thunder and the wind and the fire, but God's voice wasn't in it. Kind of like the farmer. He whopped his mule upside the head of the tomb for, and somebody said, what'd you do that? He said, I want to get his attention. So God sent the fire and sent this earthquake and sent the high wind to get Elijah's attention. And then when everything got still and Elijah began to creep up to the edge and peek outside, then God said, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? He wanted Elijah to know what he's doing. Brethren, God wasn't through with him. God wasn't finished with him. God says there's a work for you to do. You haven't finished your course. You haven't finished your job. I didn't give you that victory on karma for nothing. I didn't call you and anoint you for nothing. You are the one that I have chosen to go and anoint the kings. When you put that anointing upon them, that is an anointing of God. And I'll tell you, that's all he needed. He just needed God to let him know he wasn't through with him. Brethren, maybe that's all we need. It's just for God to let us know he's not through with us. He's not finished with us. Somebody said, what age does a minister retire? I don't know. I haven't found that in the Bible yet. What I found in the Bible was men like Caleb, that's some 80 years old, and said, I'm still as able to go in and out as I was many years ago. As long as we have the ability to stand in the pulpit to do a work for God, there's a work we can do. Oh, we may be limited somewhat, but there's something to be done. And brethren, there's something in every one of our lives. God wants to know, where are you? What are you doing here? What business have you got here? Why are you here? Brethren, when we run from God, he goes with us anyway. Our Heavenly Father, we pray. You take the word we've endeavored to bring tonight, encourage our hearts, lift us up, and strengthen us, Lord, in the will of God and the call of God upon our lives. That, Lord, we might know that the voice of God is calling to us. And, Lord, that we might attune our ears to hear that voice and know the will of God in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen.